I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
So Mike, being the horrible person he has, actually set up like a nice box and beds and feeds her, and there you go,
that's,
ladies.
That's the kind of person.
That's the kind of man Mike is. So scoop him up.
I accidentally kicked that box.
Yeah, oh, no, you did,
you monster!
You did too. And I said,
"Cause I didn't know what it
that's
was."
The cat's box.
I was like, "Shit! Would have kicked it harder if I knew."
Oh.
What is
and,
this link?
And that's saying? The kind of person Luke is, and that's why Luke's getting married, and
exactly.
I'm not.
This is why. Yeah, exactly. As we establish, douchebags win. Douchebags get the ladies.
Indeed.
There's a rat called Rattus. He's the leader of the bunch. A cat called Modigliana. She's fluffy, but she's tough.
Darren, he's a dopey dog.
Lixie's a mother, not a mixed up bunny.
Feral,
that's a feral's for ya.
Feral's,
don't mess with the feral's. The feral's, they're gonna get you, that's a feral's.
Hello and welcome to the Feral's Podcast. I'm your host Monkey Boy, and I'm joined by
Swinny
and Mike.
Very happy people. This is episode 12. Four ferals and a wedding. Almost. I really want to say funerals though.
It's a really good title.
We start
isn't
the
it?
Episode. Yeah. No, I liked it. And it's very pertinent for me this week. Actually, a wedding episode. But before we start, I think we have some breaking news that has come across the Ferals podcast desk. I've got the
Nutty Nunnies, TV icon and beloved comic mastermind Rattus the Rat has been found dead after a suspected heroin overdose in his Surry Hills apartment this morning. An entire nation is in mourning. Rattus, best known for playing an exaggerated version of himself in The Ferals and the groundbreaking Feral TV, which was apparently shit, forever changed the face of Australia's cultural landscape. Remembered fondly by friends and critics as the Australian John Belushi, Rattus was an integral figure in the alternating comedy movement that swept Australia in the late 80s and early 90s. His combination of self-destructive rage, bittersweet observational quips, and biting self-mockery made Rattus one of the greatest comic performance of the late 20th century. I think people mistook Rattus for his persona, remembers Modigliana the cat, fellow feral stars and formal lover of Rattus. But he was a very gentle soul, very caring. I don't know anyone who struggles with demons like Rattus. He was tormented, definitely. But he was fundamentally loved. Mixie the Rabbit also fondly remembers her co-star. These years, the early 90s, they were just magic. And Rattus was a big part of what made those times special. His ability to go off on all these amazing free-verse improvisations was just wondrous. He should have been a poet, but he was just too funny. Mixie and Rattus both graduated from NIDA in the same year. The humor came from his suffering, she told the ABC. He was a bit like Bukowski, really. I think after Darren the dog died in 99, Rattus never really discovered. Recovered. The bittersweet just became bitter. But he'd always send me a card on my birthday. Rattus became notorious as a public provocateur in his later years, running afoul of the Howard government in regards to their foreign policy, and infamously calling Joe Hockey a wet-brained c*** on Q&A in 2014. Rattus' state funeral will be held next week, with Agro overseeing the eulogy. Rattus leaves behind no children, but will be remembered and adored by a generation. That was the article.
Hey.
Vale.
a state funeral. I like how Raddus gets a state funeral. Overseen by Agro.
Raddus P. Raddus. So yeah, this came across our desk from, what is it, the Batuta Advocate. When I actually got this, because people are aware that we're doing this podcast, I received this. The person who sent it to me thought, didn't read it, but thought that the actor behind Raddus died from a heroin overdose. But you can tell from 1 second of skimming that obviously it's a satire, a satirical article. It's pretty funny.
I've got to say, Mike, that actually sounded like there was some voice effects altering your voice in that newscaster voice. I'm very impressed.
No, that was all me, baby.
It was good.
Thanks.
It was good. I like that. That was a good job, Mike. So yes, this episode opens to the Ferals playing Truth or Dare, with Darren having to eat a cockroach. It's quite disgusting.
Yeah, good thing it didn't spit in his eye. Otherwise, it'd be a... Oh, God, you don't want that.
And it also makes me think maybe this has affected my sort of truth and dairy and trying to egg people on motivations that I often have.
You reckon you saw this episode as a kid?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how many episodes I've seen, because the only one that has any, that I have any recollection of, is really just the flea episode, you know, with the flea, the fleas that Darren were trying to train?
Yeah.
Yes.
I don't really remember any other episodes, like, at all, so far. But I certainly remember the characters, so, I don't know, it's very strange. I think there's, like, look, just to sort of, you know, not give any spoilers, but a taste of the future of this episode, I believe that we have found out the full name of Joe in this episode.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you guys also picked up the full name of Robbie.
We did. Well, I did.
Yes.
Yes.
I didn't write it down, but yes, it was mentioned.
I assume that Mike did, so I'm glad that he actually followed through on that one.
But that's a pretty exciting episode. We've found out that these characters have last names and middle names. I never thought about the fact that we don't know what Robbie's last name is. Like, this is the first time we know, right?
Yes. But then we only found out her actual proper first name a couple of episodes ago, so...
Oh, yeah, that's right as well. Is it Roberta? I've forgotten.
Roberta, yes.
Yes.
Yeah. I feel like we need to update Wikipedia with all the learnings after the show's finished.
Well, on that note, I noticed that, you know, IMDb, that every episode has, of every TV show, has its own listing page. And I think you need at least 5 ratings, ratings from people for it to actually show the average. So it's out of 10. So as long as we can get 2 other people to rate on these episodes, we can get the IMDb ratings to reflect our actual average ratings that we've given on this podcast.
Should we do something evil and put our averages in twice, so it guarantees that there'll be 6 reviews and they'll be weighted to how we have actually voted for it.
So we basically create 2 accounts each just to get our average.
What are we? I've already got.
What are we, that 4chan hacker?
You know what the best thing ever would be? If we get, like, thrown into jail for this, you're breaking the terms of service of IMDb Pro. How dare you?
But no, true. Like, we could get our ratings. I don't know. I didn't check every single episode, but I'm assuming none of them have above 5 ratings, so...
I actually thought you were going to say, I'm assuming none of them have any ratings.
No, probably not.
I still think would have been fair. Well, do you use IMDb per episode? I've never done that.
I don't rate TV shows on IMDb, but I know that every episode has its own listing, because that's how you find out the cast information and things.
Actually, I've just checked. Like, episodes. some of the episodes do have enough already.
Well, I still think by the numbers we can get our average to show up there. We can control the fate of the IMDb rating universe.
It's probably not as much as I thought, actually. The first episode has zero votes for it. Yeah, I think that's fair. At this stage, what would you give the overall show? What rating out of 10?
Oh, God, that's put me on the spot. maybe a 7? Maybe?
Okay.
Maybe?
Yeah, it's kind of a funny one. I was thinking 6, but then there's something quirky that I like about it. Anyway, all right, let's get back to the episode. Okay, Raddus dares Morty to leave the... it's not that he dared her to leave the shed forever, but he played Truth or Dare, right? And said that she wrote this letter to Sebastian, the cat that's down the street or something. Is that right?
That's right, yeah, yeah.
Trying to remember. And then she was saying, no, that's not true. And then he dared her to leave the shed forever.
She said, no way, that Sebastian is a pussy.
Now,
which I know
we've said this many times on the show. There is no way you'd be able to get away with that today on... Definitely not on a children's show. There's actually very few shows you could get away with that. Especially not a children's show.
Well, I think... I reckon they say the word pussy like 5 times in this episode.
Yes. Yeah, they do. And they even... we'll talk about it in a sec. There's another funny name they use.
Yeah, there's a scene later and yeah, it's very very dodgy, this episode.
I don't want to get into it too much, the word pussy. But it's like you're going to have to beep the following out. It's like the word cunt, right? And that bit with Louis C.K. where he's like, why would you call something negative after... You know, a female genitalia. Female genitalia is freaking awesome. It's like every time I think of female genitalia, I feel like a flute's playing. And there's butterflies flying everywhere.
Now, you know that...
Doesn't that just show you how misogynistic the world is, Mike?
It is in that sense, absolutely, when it comes to this usage, no doubt.
Might have to put some trigger warnings at the start of this episode.
Yeah, put trigger warnings there. Might trigger some people.
I'm pretty certain. I thought we'd brought this up on this podcast. Maybe we haven't, but basically, that the word pussy actually doesn't come from originate from cat or anything like that. It comes from what was it again? I think we've discussed it.
No, we did. Oh, man, I remember
now. You guys must have discussed this off the podcast.
No, we did.
IRL.
We talked about it.
I'm just trying to find...
I've never heard about it.
Now I wish I had this ready to go, because I'm like, I'm sure...
What is it, the etymology slang of the word pussy? Is that what you're saying?
But probably older from the old Norse puss, pocket pouch, but perhaps instead from the cat word.
Yeah, Arrested Development had a joke about that, where like the nurse kept on saying to the English version of Buster in this sort of fantasy he was having, "You're such a pussy," which is like meant to be affectionate, coming from in England back in the day at least. Not like, oh, you're a pussy, you know, that's a bad thing, right? That you're a pussy.
Okay.
Here we go. I don't know. It's anyway. It's actually an adjective for. That's a hard word to say.
Pusillanimous?
Yeah, pusillanimous or pusillanimous or something.
There you go.
So, there, yeah. But
the animus? Is the animus back again?
Yeah. However, there's... I don't want to put, you know, 100% on that because I just right below some other people saying it's not short for that. So, I'm like, okay. I don't know what to believe with that word.
It's an alternate spelling of an obsolete English word, Percy. P-U-R-S-Y.
How many etymologies does this word have? What the hell?
I don't know. There's so many. Like, and it's so fascinating that it's such a common word, yet the people don't even... They can't even figure out, you know, beyond any doubt that it has this particular origin. It's amazing.
Anyway, in this letter, I like how it also goes... in the letter to Sebastian says, "You spunky Tom," which to me was a nice play on Snappy Tom, the cat food.
I didn't pick up on that. That was good. Okay, why did Morty leave then? I thought Raddus dared her.
Raddus said, "Truth, did you write this letter?" And he reads it out, and she goes, "I'm not playing this game anymore." And then instead, as you said, actually, sorry, you're right on that. Then he said, "How about dare?" a day to leave the shed for him. And she said, yes, yeah. Okay, done. Mm. Walks out.
Have you guys... like that kind of goes against the spirit of the truth and dare. It's like, dare, I dare you to shoot yourself in the head. Like, okay, that is a dare and I won't do it, so I lose, sort of, but you're a dickhead for saying that. Yeah, I don't know. And then at the end of the scene, we see Raditz, it was his turn to do a dare. And for whatever reason, he said, make mine a double dare. That's not how the double dare thing works.
Isn't it?
The double dare is, if you don't do the first dare, you have to do a double dare.
I don't know how the...
I thought a double dare meant that someone else had to do it with you.
I thought a double dare negates itself. It's like two wrongs make a right.
This is like the word pussy. That's like so many different interpretations of this. What the hell?
By the way, sorry to interject
really?
Once again.
Saying, huh? Are you guys saying that double dare isn't the way... that I said the rules.
No, it might. No, so no, sure. It might be. It might be. It probably is. Why would you want to double dare yourself? I don't get it. Like, what would you?
No. What I thought it was truth or dare. If you don't do the dare, you have to do a double dare.
I feel that this is That's going to I turn thought. Out exactly like the hole in the ground joke, where we're going to have the listeners going, "This is so frustrating. What do they not understand?"
Move on. Okay, let's move on. Whatever.
There's a
double
Wikipedia
dare, triple
article
dare,
about truth or dare.
Whatever. Okay. Before you read
crazy,
that out, before you
so
read
official.
Out, speaking of dares, I fondly remember a film that came out of early 2000s, like 2002, 2003, called Love Me If You Dare. And it was about these two kids that grow up, and they've got this little like cookie tin box or something in the form of a Ferris wheel, and they keep daring each other stuff. And eventually...
It's in the form of a Ferris wheel. A tin box.
No. It's just painted like with the Ferris wheel design and stuff on the front.
Painted
and
formed in
the
form of very different meanings.
Whoever has it has to dare the other person to do something. So right at the very start of the film, if I remember, when they were still little kids, because it follows them through life, one of them dares to like do these things at a wedding that, you know, ruins part of the wedding. So it's cool because it's very if you guys watch it, you'll be like, hey, wow, there's so many different themes about weddings and about daring people and stuff that the Ferrells has as well. Obviously, completely non-related. This is a French flick, so I highly doubt the French people were watching that at the time. But
it's like the idea of French cinema in the Ferrells TV show.
Well, we did have the French Raddus, person in
true.
The eating
yeah, true.
So.
Well, I'm pretty
or
sure.
Should I say
but do watch it. It's a good film. It's a pretty cool film. It's, you know, like, you know, you guys know I'm a sucker for little romantic films like The Notebook and stuff.
Rom-coms.
I love my rom-coms. Yeah. The Notebook was actually really good.
Yeah, Notebook's
so this is probably my favorite rom-com. It's really, really well written.
I'm sorry. No rom-com will ever beat Love Actually, because that is actually a brilliant film.
That is actually a good film. I agree. It is a good film.
Well, that is, I was going to say Hugh Grant, but he's almost in every single rom-com. Is he in it?
He's in it, but he plays a very different character than what you'd expect. So,
yeah, he's a douchebag, right?
Yeah, like a rock star douchebag style guy. So yeah,
that comes good at the end.
Probably. Don't ruin it.
We all know that's definitely...
Don't ruin it.
Oh, spoiler alert. Jeez, I think I have to start this episode with a trigger warning and spoiler alerts.
And lots of beeping.
Okay. Yeah, there's quite a few beeping already. I think there's two beeps at least that I have to do. Okay, so the double dare is... And it feels like Raddus came up with this dare on himself. So maybe that's another interpretation to what double dare is. He's using a chainsaw to cut Keith's branch off so that Keith will fall down to his death.
What? Can I just...
Very dark.
Can I just say, this whole scene is great, and we'll touch on some of those soon. Why... What does he have against Keith right now? That he's cutting his branch. That's his home. That's like...
He's elevated. Sleeping.
But I'd understand if there was a bit of a setup where they'd made a snide comment to the Ferrells, like in the intro scene, like, haha, you guys suck or something, you know. But that's like...
Yeah, truth is there,
I'm just
going to
destroy Keith's home because I don't like him very much.
Not just that, it could kill him. He's like going to be crushed by this branch.
Yeah.
We also see fake Kylie calling out, trying to wake Keith up, who the ferals have snuck on some earmuffs so he couldn't hear the chainsaw
that was
cutting down his branch.
That was such an awesome touch. But I like how fake Kylie's voice is so out of place that it wakes Keith up when the chainsaw doesn't.
yeah, exactly. That's what I wrote as well.
Who are you? Where's the gummies? Spoiler alert, he does talk about gummies in this episode.
Yeah,
it had everything. It had everything.
But I like.
So yeah,
just before Raddus finishes cutting it, Keith wakes up and Raddus goes, "Time for you to branch out, Keithy."
I had that
as well.
I didn't write that down. That's a good line. I only wrote down because, you know, when he cut the branch off and it squished Keith and Kylie, and they looked dead, actually.
Oh, that was pretty
bad.
Didn't
you think that they kind of looked... I know. It was almost like...
And how did that work? Up. Kylie was not standing underneath the branch when that happened.
I know. And then how did Keith go under it? He was on top of the branch. But I just like how... And it's such a 90s thing. How Raddus at the end of this just said, "Wicked."
Yeah.
Just seriously, can you even think of the last time you've heard someone say "wicked"?
Only in reference to that musical about witches.
Yeah, true.
Not in actual the Wizard of conversation. Oz,
right? You know that's about Wizard of Oz, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I didn't feel like I need to really take the time to explain it. Sorry, Monkey Boy.
Okay. Okay, so we're about like maybe 1 minute into the show so far. So we swing across to Lenny and Robbie, who are doing, which I put in quotation marks, spring cleaning. So, like, what's happened here? I think Joe's gone overseas and is coming back. And I think Lenny and Robbie, in my mind at least, are doing some last minute panicked cleaning before Joe comes back to his place. Do you think that that's what's happened?
Lenny had bread in his hands. It looks like he's making a sandwich. He wasn't cleaning anything.
What?
Manwich.
Oh, did he? I didn't even notice that.
Yeah, because then he threw the... When Joe came in and said he's met a girl or whatever, he like threw the bread away like in shock or something. Robbie was probably cleaning something.
Okay. And did you hear the little bit of continuity that we had in this episode? In the scene?
Oh.
You know what I'm referring to?
No. Mike?
Because Joe was so ecstatic, and Lenny had a joke as to why he was so ecstatic. He said, "Have you won the lottery again?"
I didn't catch that. That.
Yeah,
damn it.
See, I like
damn
that.
It. The continuity like expert it. Doing things that we didn't think that they should be doing actually got it right. And I didn't
you know what
pick
it might
up
be?
On
the
it.
Who is the continuity expert again? I've forgotten. It's not Tina Matthews.
No, Tina Matthews.
She made the show.
She's the puppet goddess.
Oh yeah, she's the puppet goddess. That's right. I've forgotten who the continuity expert is. But maybe people keep asking her, like if that's her job. So she just started doing that as well as all the other continuity stuff that she has to worry about. You know, just try to tick off what people think she does, and then also do what she is meant to do. Anyway,
it's like a KPI when it comes to six-month, you know, of her role. It's like,
performance
review. Did you check the continuity in the episode between scenes? Props? Yep. Cool, you got that. Between episodes? Yeah, I mentioned it that one episode. Sweet, done. Passed.
Yes, exactly. Tick the box exercise. So, yes, Joe is ecstatic from this trip because he's in love with a girl named Faye. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I thought from the start, Robbie and Lenny were just being dicks about this whole thing.
They were.
Why are they
were, but
so
rightfully
much?
So. I don't blame them.
Why?
Okay. Maybe they were being a little uncool, you know, at the fact that he was just a lovebird.
Like,
but then when they heard, hang on a minute, you've known her for how long and you're already trying to get married? You're an idiot. So I think they had free reign after that.
But even before he said that they're getting married, Robbie said that she must be mentally ill.
well, come on. Like, what? Is that unfair? I mean, this is Joe we're talking
He's
about.
He's not that bad, is he? He's not that bad.
He has a... He has obviously an annoying, douchey personality, but I can actually see that being appealing to some people. And then, you know, the dude's a bit of a looker.
Yeah, Mike
Rate gave him like 9.5 out of 10 or whatever he did. So, you know, like, it's not that out of the question that somebody would fall for it.
Yes, Joe being a douche. That's something that women particularly hate about men. Douche men. Like, come on.
You mean showered men?
I don't know. What was that?
Showered men? Douche means shower?
Ah, okay. I was like, what are you talking about?
If Joe was around in the current day, he'd be the person popping his collar in the nightclubs. That would be him.
Yes. Yeah, he would be. And picking up all the chicks as a result. Shit, yeah. There you go.
Okay, so, you know what? I can't believe we haven't spoken about this. So, of course, there's Mig, who played Joe, but he isn't actually Joe. He's an actor.
Really? Joe, you don't what? Say?
What? Damn, I've been living a lie.
Where's the breaking... Damn it, why didn't I save the breaking news clip? Damn my organizational...
Wait, hang on. Can you repeat that, but have that breaking news... the breaking news sound again? And then say it?
If future Luke isn't so lazy, I'll just add it in.
Forget the breaking news sound. I want that unzipping the zip sound from a couple of episodes ago.
It's true. That's a good sound. Okay. Well, we haven't spoken about this. What would Joe be like, and what would he be doing if he lived right now? So if he was in this era. So
he would probably be working for a bank.
Oh, see, I have a different theory, but okay.
I just say that because...
And what are you dressing like?
I know quite a few people that work for banks.
I reckon he'll be a marketing / social media organizer dude.
Yes.
There you
of
go.
Course. I can't believe you didn't think of that, Sweeney. He'd be like an SEO expert, even though that industry is like dead.
Actually, SEO, yes. He'd be the person sending all those unsolicited emails like 10 a day.
Yeah.
And I think he'd have some exposure to the startup community, you know, incubator. Sure. Like, you could just... That writes itself. Like, what are you saying?
He'd be the one taking full advantage of the New Enterprise Initiative scheme handouts from the governments and everything like that.
Oh, yeah, exactly. And he'd still be wearing his Stanford shirt and jumper. Now, what would he be dressing like? What do you reckon he would look like?
I already said he'd be popping his collar.
No, but dude, that was like 10 years ago. No one does that now.
In nightclubs? I'm sure they still do.
No, they don't.
I don't know.
What the hell?
Popping the collar. I still see people walking around with popped collars. It hasn't gone away.
What? No one does that.
I still see people. I'm telling you. There's still douches around.
Yeah. No, the people still do it.
It must be old people or like shitty places you go to. Because seriously, no one does that anymore.
Nah, I've still seen some people.
Anyway. Yeah. No. I don't you think you'd be dressed like a hipster? Don't you reckon you'd have a little, you know...
Yeah.
You know, cultivated moustache and other things like that?
A beard and some sleek back hair, like shaved on the side, like I did for a while. Yeah.
A fade? He'd have a fade? He'll have
the fade. I just ask, how long suspenders? Are we going to talk about this?
I actually think the photo of Mike would look very similar. What Joe would look like.
The photo of Mike.
Yeah, you know the one where you had a fade, Mike?
Yeah, the fade, yeah.
Yeah, I reckon that would you actually kind of look like him. I can't believe we've never said
this. I don't look like Joe. Sweetie. Please, I'm not that good.
Don't you reckon Mike looks like Joe?
Shape of the head and the hair, maybe, but not the face. Nothing else. Nothing else.
And the douchiness.
Okay. Yeah, exactly. And the laugh.
And the fact that he...
Anyway. I'm pretty sure I actually met my ex while in a nightclub with my collar up as well, now that I think about it. Yeah.
Who, Joe?
No, me. When I met my ex, I'm pretty sure I had my collar up.
I thought you meant Mig met your ex. I'm all over the place now. Okay, so Joe's getting married to this Faye chick. I wrote a line, and I don't actually know what it is, but I'm going to read it out. It says, very appropriate for me. Oh, yes, okay, because of the wedding theme episode. Yes, that's why.
Yes. I wonder why it's very appropriate for you, Monkey Boy.
Yes, yes, I know. I'm getting married this week. So it's a great episode to have.
I've learned
a lot about wedding organization, how to handle a wedding being cancelled by some rabid, crazy ferals.
Can I just say, I hope...
More spoiler alerts, by the way.
I hope that your wedding goes much better than the wedding in this episode.
Yes, I hope so too. I hope so too. Okay, so now Mixie has been dared by the ferals, and she's going to throw some green, what I call green goop, on Joe. These guys are just being dickheads at this point. Don't you think?
Yeah, well, Joe...
Like, this is the craziest truth of Joe I've ever seen.
Joe's on the phone to Faye, and they throw the green shit at Joe. Because you don't know what it is. It looks like nuclear waste, for Christ's sake. I don't know if that's green, assume it is.
It's that stuff. Remember back in, like, the 90s and early 2000s, you could buy those green goo toy things? like, those slimy things?
I feel like we're so old. Like, last episode, we spoke all about the fart bombs. Now we're talking about green goo things.
same thing. Yeah.
And I did think of the same thing.
Do they still sell that stuff?
Well, let's find out.
They're probably taking a lot of that stuff off the market because
okay.
The kid ingests it. The head probably explodes.
Because I haven't gone to a toy store since my van broke down, which was like years back.
What? So. You had a van?
I think he's joking. I think he's, you know, his van, kids, anyway.
I know. I missed it.
We didn't have the same reaction. It seems like you can make your own green goop. So that'd be pretty cool.
How?
I don't know. It's like corn flour or something? Yeah, corn flour. Okay, I don't know how I knew it was corn flour just by looking at it. Anyway, corn flour, food dye, and water. That's all you need. All
right, so basically they throw it at Joe when he's on the phone, and he starts cursing them out, and then Faye thinks he's cursing her out. And then
that's right, to make up
for it, he's like, oh, yeah, of course I love you. I want to get married, blah, blah, blah. I'd get married tomorrow if we could. And then he falls in the trap and saying that they're actually going to get married on the weekend. There we go. Prior to that,
he was stating that he has an office with heaps of people working for him. So he's trying to make himself look so big, and he's lying to this poor chick. Yeah, like, okay, so at this... Like, I was pretty excited to see what Faye was going to look like at the point in this episode. So we don't know what Faye looks like. We've only heard her over the phone, and I don't really understand... I still don't understand, even after watching the episode. So he met her on a cruise, is that right? So, like, she's not from Australia? Or she's not from Sydney? Is that what it means?
I didn't even care. I thought he was just on a holiday. I didn't hear it was a cruise or anything.
Well, okay, even if it's a holiday. But she sounds Australian when we actually see her. Is she meant to not sound Australian?
No, but people just go to, like, resorts and stuff here, you know?
Yeah, but where is she from? I don't understand.
It doesn't matter.
Okay.
It's like she's from Melbourne. There you go.
Okay, look. It's going to ruin the whole episode, but the thing I never understood about this episode is I always felt like they were trying to make it out like she was trying to take Joe's money. Like,
yeah,
oh, Joe's
same.
Really successful, so
yeah.
I got to get married to this guy quickly to lock it down or get a visa or something. Then we actually find her, she speaks like Australian English, so you'd presume she's from Australia, and... I don't know. It doesn't seem like that's the motive at all. It just makes no sense, this character.
I thought it was... Well, I didn't necessarily think she was, you know... I didn't care what nationality or anything, but I definitely thought she was just after his money, and it was just a scam. So I wasn't... Because you know how Joe is lying the entire time, pretending he's something he's not? I wasn't sure who's trying to scam who in that sense. But without ruining anything, it seems like it was legit.
I don't know. I think that's part of it. But also, look, this is skipping ahead a bit, but it's relevant to this point. When we finally meet her and you see them interact, they both laugh like Joe.
Yes.
They both go...
No, that's the part that throws me off in this episode.
Maybe they're related. Maybe this was on a cruise to Tasmania.
Star Wars did it. Star Wars did it, so you never know.
Exactly. I think it was a combination of her saying, "Hey, I like this guy.
My parents did it. I definitely know.
He's got money and he's got a business. Let me try to get a hold of him." So I don't think there's much more to it than that.
No, but she looked legit. She'd really look legit.
All right.
Obviously, she was attracted. All I'm saying is, obviously, she was attracted.
Stamp of approval.
She was attracted by the money.
Let's go back and we'll get up to her introduction.
Yeah, yeah. Let's unpick the episode. So, at first, I thought they were making the garage a wedding venue, but then it dawned on me that they're trying to make it look like Joe's office to convince her. And for whatever reason, Lenny and Robbie are helping out Joe. Not only make it look like an office, but pretend as if they're working for Joe. Why are they doing this?
We never understand the relationship between these humans.
Nope.
They dial in the motives to these characters like anything. They don't care.
They could have explained if they really wanted to by saying, "Oh, if you don't, I'll up your rent like 200% or something." You know.
I didn't think he's paying any rent.
I don't know. Or kick you out or whatever. Like, they're staying at his place still. He has an edge on them.
Okay, so that's a good point. So Joe, at this stage, is boarding for what I believe is for free. Lenny, Robbie, Radis, Moddy, Darren, and Mixie. Right?
He's basically king.
Yeah, he's keeping them all. There's six individuals that would be homeless if it wasn't for Joe. Do they treat him as if he's doing this for them?
The bastards.
No.
It's incredible. It's incredible what assholes
good guy Joe when you think
are.
About it.
Good guy Joe.
Exactly. I reckon we should rename the whole show Good Guy Joe.
Yeah.
And spin it all from Joe's perspective, how these evil characters are around him, screwing him up. Anyway. Okay, so because he's taken over the office, he's officially now kicked out the Ferals, so they're homeless, finally. And it's only taken, what is it now, 26 episodes into the series.
And they just accept. They're just like, well, when I say accept, obviously they concoct a plan, but they don't, like, stand there and try to get in and fight. They're like, "Oh, we'll just walk away. And we'll just be kicked out."
What a plot hole for the whole series, where from the first episode, they're talking about, oh, they have to get rid of the Ferals, and all it takes is Joe to just, oh, no, go, you know, get out. That's all it took. Like, him to just go in there and go, "Oh, no, this is my shed now again. See you later. I've got to do something."
Turned out it wasn't that hard.
Yeah, exactly. And now, you know, they're doing this truth and dare crap again. I don't know. I didn't like the truth and dare storyline, but
I thought
this was really dark. Well, I just thought this part was dark, though, where Radis dared Darren to hold his breath for 15 minutes.
Well, that made him shut up.
I was like, whoa.
It was good, and I liked the puppetry, because obviously Darren's just standing there still while he's holding his breath, but as the scene goes on, he starts shaking.
Yeah.
And it was really, really well done.
And then when he falls over and falls unconscious.
We find out that Radis has a lot of siblings in this scene as well. He basically says that his dad, you know, he's something like, "Oh, weddings aren't all they're cracked up to be." His dad died after like 117 kids or something.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So
the other thing that I thought was really weird in this scene was when Radis's reaction to Mixie, because Mixie wasn't going to be the flower bunny, and he's like, "Oh, Mixie!" Did you guys pick up on that?
It was a bit weird.
Oh, I thought it was really weird. It sounds like, I don't know, it was such an overreaction. Anyway. Okay, so now we're up to Faye, who is now at the hotel. And she calls Joe when he's in the office, or his fake office, I should say. So there's fake Kylie, fake office in this show so far. And I thought for a while, fake wife, or fiance, I should say. One thing about this conversation is that she's, like, remarkably audible. You know how, like, most of these phone conversations in these TV shows, they kind of have the other end go, like, you can't understand anything?
Yeah.
But for her, you could actually understand what she was saying, like, most of the time.
That's weird, because in the first scene, she sounded like, me, 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 me.
Yeah.
So,
but the second one is like, oh, I love you. Da, da, da.
I didn't pick up on that. That's not continuity. That's audio what's the opposite of continuity?
Discontinuity?
Audio discontinuity. There you go.
Okay. Let's see if this is the scene. I've skipped to it. Let's see if I've got it right.
I was to a wedding. I can't wait. You're on your way over now. Ah, okay. Right, well, I'll see you then. I'll see you soon. Bye.
Can you hear that?
It's still, I think you're hearing things.
Yeah, like, it's still...
It's like, bye. Didn't you hear it?
You're hearing the intonation, I think, of when people go,
bye. I think
so,
yes.
You guys,
I take that back. Audio continuity. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Audio some continuity. Small gaps. Okay, so they've decked out the place. It's pretty weird the way that they've decked it out. Did you guys see the pig head on the wall? That is later replaced with something else, but... Did you see that?
Was that already there in the shed?
I don't think so. It looked like Lenny was putting it up on the wall.
That's really bizarre. Unless the business is, you know, somehow experimenting on hunted animals. I can't understand the...
Well, unfortunately... Reason. We never really find out what his fake business does. I was kind of disappointed about that.
He's an importer exporter.
I was really hoping. Yeah, I know. I was hoping something like that. Okay, so then we have Darren who still wants to play truth or dare. And then this is the scene where Faye comes in. So at this point, I thought we'll never see Faye because you know Radis is annoyed and is trying to scheme of how to, you know, get back into the shed, and the ferals see Faye and Joe kissing, so they talk about it. So I just thought, oh, we're never going to see this Faye. Is that what you guys thought at this point of the episode?
I probably would have thought that if this was one of the first few episodes of the entire series, season one as well, because they've done a couple of things where they allude to things like the landlord and then I don't actually show them properly. But considering we've pretty much this entire season, at least the last like 15 episodes, we've seen everybody that they've alluded to. So I knew we'd
see
Faye.
That's one thing about this show. They do bring a lot of like guests on to the show, don't they? Just like come as real characters and then never to be seen again.
Yeah, have we had any guests recur other than that weird
one? No. No. I know the Wombat is the only semi-recurring character. I did question, you know the wedding? Do you remember the wedding scene later in this episode?
Yeah.
The fat kid that's to the right?
Oh, yes,
I was thinking, is that the kid? From the first episode in this season?
I thought it actually was.
You know how he had a few lines? Because it looked like him.
It did look like him. And it looked like he was trying to give something to Robbie in the scene as well. But that was a bit weird. I don't know what it was. But
I know. Okay, so we're gonna talk about a few of these things. Because there's something really dodgy that happens in this episode. But we'll get to it.
Yeah, all right. Let's go back. Step back.
Okay. So, yeah. Now, the Ferals are trying to wreck these wedding plans. So, they want to sort of... what are they trying to do? Get some background information or something? And that's why they sneak into the office? I don't understand what part of the plan is why they go into the office.
I didn't even really think. Why did they need to go in the office?
Exactly.
Is it because they just wanted to see his wife? Is that why?
No, I think they said they need to get information. I think that's what they said their reason was. And I was like, what?
So they're doing a reconnaissance mission by...
Yeah, reconnaissance.
Darren... disguising himself as the wall trophy, which is probably the worst disguise possible, and Radis as the second worst possible disguise, which is just putting a lampshade on his head. And Mixie
It worked.
Mixie had the best one. It was awesome. She had the painting.
It was so good.
Where she'd cut the eyes open. There were eyes.
And I think it was Beethoven. I think it was a young Beethoven I can't remember. It was one of the two.
One was awesome.
Mixie one was the best. Yeah. So, so all we hear is that when and we finally see Faye now. Like you know, what would you give out of 10, Mike?
I've actually seen the actress before in
Oh, really?
In Underbelly, I think. So obviously, so she was older.
Oh, you mean you've seen a lot of her? Is that what you're saying?
She's pretty cute. I don't know. I can't think of a number, but she was cute.
So what out of whatever five then?
I don't know, like eight. Oh, out of five stars.
8 out of 5. Wow.
Whoa. 8 out of 5.
8 out of 5.
That's incredible. I don't know. We don't rate women. We're very, you know.
Oh, of course. Yeah, that's right. Them. Yeah.
We only allow you to shame yourself.
Okay, fair enough.
And record it for the internet. she's... What would you describe it as? She's whinging, or she's, like, a bit lamentable about the fact that how small his office is?
She's just unimpressed? She's unimpressed.
With the size of his office. Now, I just want to say, this office was way bigger than the office that I had when I had my business. So, I was like, geez. Like, she didn't see my office.
Was yours Joe's also converted from a shed?
Yeah. I had to kick out some feral animals, so... And what was Joe's excuse? That it's modern technology, and that's why it doesn't need to be big?
I took away from this scene, other than the awesome disguises, was the fact that we learnt that he introduced Robbie as Dr. Henderson, and Leonard... And Lee
yes.
Dr. Leonard. And...
Yes.
Obviously,
yes.
The next step, which is the gift that Faye brought to Joe.
Okay, so, yes. So, the Henderson thing, that's exciting, because I've never seen Robbie's last name on the internet. So, are we all certain that Robbie's last name's Henderson?
Oh, yeah.
I wouldn't say certain, but yeah, pretty Why, certain.
He wouldn't randomly pull a name like that out. He'd pull, like, Dr. Steinberg or something like... Professor, like, you know, I don't know why I said Steinberg, but you know what I mean, like something that sounds like it's a fake name. Henderson,
yeah,
it's just the last name.
Oh, actually, TV.com has her name, her full name as Roberta Robbie Henderson.
Wow, you're wrong.
I know, I'm impressed.
O-N or S-E-N?
Oh, okay. So the Henderson thing—it's a bit of a joke, because. The creators of the Ferrells are Wendy Gray and Claire Henderson.
Ah.
There you go. A little joke there. Oh, this is so disappointing, though. So, what the hell is wrong with this site? So, TV.com has Radis P. Radis, okay, tick. Mixie M. Tosis, tick. Roberta Robbie Henderson, which, like, I've never seen it anywhere. And then with Lenny, it's just Leonard.
Huh.
Disgraceful.
I know.
There's multiple times it says Lenny Leonard. We've never heard it Robbie
does it,
Henderson.
Does it just before. Say Joe?
Yeah, it says Joe King.
Ah.
So that's also incomplete now.
Well, we know more than that because we know it's Ramela. Sorry, Ramela. God damn. Radis Pamela Radis.
Ramela.
Spooterisms to the rescue.
Yeah, so the other thing that you mentioned earlier was when Faye came into the scene, her and Joe are really close together and they find something funny and then they laugh simultaneously in the style of that Joe laugh, which is just horrible.
Yeah, but also...
So what is the big reveal that Faye's gift, Sweeney?
Okay, so I think as soon as we saw the box, we knew what it was going to be, but... Basically,
yeah, I already wrote it down.
Yeah, she gives Joe a box, he opens it up, and it's Moddy. So, basically, Faye has just picked up we know it's a feral animal, but just picked up a feral animal off the road to adopt it. Now, that reminds me of a certain person.
And to give it as a gift.
But, Mike, do you know anybody that has kind of adopted a feral animal recently?
Nah. Especially not one that kind of looks like Modigliana.
We've spoken.
You've
about
obviously
it.
Given her the wrong name. You've obviously need to call this cat Tiddles.
Yes, we've discussed on a past episode that Mike has a cat that hangs around his house, and I can confirm that it's pretty much a feral cat. whereas we were a bit like, we didn't really believe Mike. Well, like, it's probably just a cat from a neighboring house. But when I saw it, I'm like, yeah, nah, it's a feral cat. But it's a friendly feral cat.
Yeah, it's pretty friendly
now.
Yeah,
it's very friendly.
I don't know if it's
gives you high fives and shit.
Well, sorry, feral by definition of saying that it doesn't have an owner and it hasn't grown up in a domestic environment.
Yes.
Not that it was like in the bush.
How do you know it hasn't?
Because I,
you know, it hasn't.
We
grown up.
We saw her when she
grew up in a domestic.
Because we saw her since she was a kitten, running around.
Oh really?
Yeah. So pretty sure she's been out all her life. I think she's
Mike,
probably like 4 years old now or something.
So Mike, being the horrible person that he has, actually set up like a nice box and beds and feeds her. And there you go,
that's,
ladies.
That's the kind of
that's the kind of man Mike is. So scoop him up.
I accidentally kicked that box.
Yeah, oh, no, you did too.
You monster.
You did too. And I said,
I didn't know what it
that's
was.
The cat's box.
I was like, shit. Would have kicked it harder if I knew.
Oh.
What is
and,
this link?
And that's saying? The kind of person Luke is, and that's why Luke's getting married, and
exactly.
I'm not.
This is why. Yeah, exactly. As we establish, douchebags win. Douchebags get the ladies.
Indeed. Evidently so.
So what is this link that you've put in, Mike? I'm looking.
Oh, no, I was just searching for. I was searching for Roberta. I was just. It's pretty much the first thing that came up for Roberta Henderson. I thought maybe that was her.
Okay, so we need to talk
about... Wait, sorry.
Moddy...
You thought that was her by giving us a LinkedIn to a fictional character.
I know, that makes a lot of sense. Not. anyway, we've got to get back to this. So, Moddy is adopted by Faye and then given as a gift to Joe, and she's called her Tittles. Now, from the whole
Tittles.
Thing going on... Tittles, not
Tittles. What?
You know it's Tittles, right? Anyway.
Yeah, I know what it is.
I think she looks so freaky in this. Does she normally wear clothes? She does, right? She looks so naked.
She,
for the rest of the episode.
I think she normally does. How do we not know that just by recollection? That's alarming.
She doesn't wear anything distinct. I think she keeps changing what she wears.
Yeah, she looked terrified after the box was opening. It looked really good, actually. Like, she's like, what? What was I stuck in this box for?
No, it was awesome. And she looked all cleaned up as well. So, yeah, no, it was pretty funny. And this is the line. This is where... was it... Who said it about what Joe wants? That Joe always... Oh, it was Lenny. Do you remember what Lenny said about Joe? How he always wanted a pet pussycat?
I did not.
You didn't hear that?
No.
Yeah, he did say it, yeah.
Okay. No, I paused then because I keep hearing a mouse click. I'm like, who is that? So I'm like,
it's not me.
I did not. Was that you, Mike?
No.
Because I always hear a mouse click and I'm like, no, it's not me. It's like the banging on the table. I always think it's Mike.
Anyway, so Faye is staying at a hotel, which I thought is a bit weird, given that they're together. I don't know, maybe it's a very old school thing, right?
I mean, Joe's already harbouring two people plus the Ferrells. I don't know where there'd be room for her. He doesn't even have his own bed.
Oh, you think it? You think it's on the other side?
You got to think, though, that at least the show kind of take... Remember, this is meant to be a kid's show, so at least they haven't gone that round. At least they're trying to stay a bit more traditional with that.
Yeah, out of all things, I'm glad this is the one they chose to be conventional about.
Oh, God. Okay, so I guess the only bit here is that Moddy is now sucking up to Joe because, you know, she's got a... He's supposed to take care of her, essentially. But he's just, like, really mean to her for the rest of the episode. Just wants to get rid of her every opportunity. And, yeah, we still have Radis plotting to ruin the wedding. Was there anything, any call-outs in the scenes before the fake Kylie scene with the voodoo?
No, let's get to the good scene.
Yeah, let's get to that. So we see fake Kylie. What is she doing? Is it like a little pincushion of Raddus?
Yeah. It's a voodoo doll. So it's Keith and Kylie in the car. And she's performing voodoo on a Raddus doll, which was awesome. That is easily the best thing that Kylie as a character has done.
Yes. Yeah, I was going to ask you that. Do you think this is the best thing Kylie or fake Kylie has done? Yeah. And does it make up for fake Kylie?
I'm starting to turn around to fake Kylie in this episode.
Ooh.
And yeah, I think that good, I did as well. That good line, I think it was last episode, I think it was, or whatever.
What was a good line?
Oh, I can't remember. We may mention it, but it's not important. I just remember that now I'm starting to be like, I kind of don't mind this character anymore, so.
Yeah. I like, it's a bit more personality. So this scene also had my favourite line in this episode, where so Joe is coming across to fake Kylie and Keith, and he's trying to make a proposition to them, and he goes to Keith. Do you remember this, Swinny?
Of course.
He goes to Keith. Yeah, he goes, you know, I think we have something in common. Keith's like, you like playing with dolls? it's like the delivery of this line is awesome. What was that? Was that you, Mike?
Yeah. What?
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to say...
I did. No, it didn't come through. No, I did. I saw.
What did you say?
I forgot what I said now, but I definitely said something.
I'm like, is that the internet connection cutting out, or is that my
I think that's the connection cutting out, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Because I said what Joe said. Joe's like, I do. And he goes, no, wait.
Yeah.
That's, I like that. He's so funny, man. He's such a good actor.
This scene was not only brilliant, but it was probably the smartest Joe's ever been. Because his plan was brilliant. And it, as we'll get to, it actually works. To use Keith and Kylie to get back at the Ferals and stop them from screwing up the wedding.
And it was as simple as that. It was Keith and Kylie went around feral napping and tying them up.
Yeah, as the Ferals were trying to set up all their things and do, you know, plan everything. As I said, remember the KKK, the Keith and Kylie connection, they show up. They kidnap the Ferals and they're wearing their, like, black ninja gear. And they tie them up underneath the house.
Mm. And, yeah, like, the funny thing is, it all just goes to plan. Like, nothing, no problems. Really, if Joe wasn't such a prick and, you know, kept Moddy / Tiddles around, I think everything would have worked out, right?
I know. So, in that... That's the next scene. So, Joe's there and Moddy's on the couch and Moddy keeps saying to Joe, like, get out of the way of the TV or whatever.
Yeah, I love it.
I can't remember what Moddy did that pissed off Joe enough that he said, I've got a new bed for you, and he grabs a box with blankets and then she stupidly thinks it's a new bed. What did she do? I can't remember.
He just doesn't like her. He just wants to get rid of her. And, yeah, you're right. Like... She was saying that she wants to be a bridesmaid with a satin dress with diamonds in it. And she keeps threatening Joe. She keeps on, you know, blackmailing him. Oh, if you don't do what I say, I'm going to tell you a little secret.
Oh, okay. So that's why he wants to get rid of her.
So, in some ways, you could argue, you know, if someone's trying to hold something over your head all the time, you just got to get rid of them, right?
Oh, yeah. Everybody screws me over. I give them concrete boots and chuck them off the west gate.
Exactly. I say it without hesitation. So he throws her in a box and gets rid of her. So what I didn't get, though, is how did she get out of this box?
No, she was...
I never understood that.
No, Joe put the box in the car's bonnet. And then Robbie found her.
Oh, that's right. I've got my notes wrong. Yeah, because I thought when Joe took her, he took her down to where the Ferals are tied up, but he didn't. He put her in front of the car. Yeah, yeah. And Robbie finds her. That's right.
So, this car, it's not in the tip, right?
It's near the tip, right?
But the tip's like a block, at least a block away. Because I just want to try to understand why Robbie was randomly walking past the car if it was in the tip. Does she just go for strolls in the tip?
Yeah, on her way to uni or something.
That's what you're asking, as opposed to why is there room in the front of a car and no engine in it?
Well, okay. It's being stripped off its parts.
Engines in the back of cars. Yes.
Oh, speaking of which, here's something.
Yeah, that's true, actually. There's no engine in this car.
Here's something that's also changed.
He just changed the subject.
No, still on the same subject. Still on the same subject. I was talking to my dad about this the other day because I asked him, hey, man, do you know anyone who's selling a really cheap car? And he goes, not really. I've asked around, but pretty much what everyone's cheap saying car. Is that it's not what it used to be.
I've got a cheap car.
You used to be able to used to see heaps more cars like on people's nature strips and in their yards and stuff. You used to be able to pick up cars for like a few hundred bucks, you know, maybe 10, 15 years ago.
What?
Doesn't seem to exist anymore.
You should come live in Sunshine. Yeah, I still see those cars everywhere.
I don't know what you're talking about.
So they still exist. Where are these cars?
Yeah.
They don't usually
They don't put what?
They don't put amounts on them anymore. They're just say for sale and a mobile number, which is
yours. You get a fine these days if you do that.
Maybe that's why. Whereas the
because my dad
really
got a fine.
As much
he put he put his car out and put a sign on it or something, and they gave him a fine.
Why would you get a fine for having a for sale sign on your car?
I don't know. Like you can't do it. I don't know.
You can't have a car just lying around there. I know that because it gets taken away.
So,
there's nothing stopping you from putting signs on it.
We talk about Australia being a nanny state for a lot of its laws. That is ridiculous. What?
Well, hang on.
You can't put a sign on your own.
No, I'm pretty sure you can. You just can't have a car just lying around on a nature strip doing nothing. Oh, you can't just basically dump a car there with a sign on it.
Yeah, but that's different. Like, Monkey Boy, was this just parked out the front of the house or something? Or was it on the
nature strip? I'm pretty sure you can't park and just put...
Yeah, you can't
put a fine on your car anymore.
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, look. Look, I've even found an article about it.
What the fudge?
Yeah, a lot of councils are doing this. This happened to my dad. That's what
Why?
I'm saying.
Why? Yeah, but again, are they doing it because people are just dumping their cars? Is this his regular car that he's put some signs on while he still drives it and stuff?
No, I don't know why they do it, but look, this is Australia in a nutshell. They think about things that don't matter and don't address things like negative gearing that screw everyone else out of buying a house. And it's like totally destroying the economy.
Let's worry about some dude who wants to sell his car.
And yet they worry about a freaking car sign. Yeah, here's another example of Adelaide Council making it illegal to do it as well.
Let's check this out.
It's crazy, man.
So, you know what is also crazy? About
$100 fine.
About maybe 12 years ago now it's been, back when I was at uni. I bought a Toyota Celica, like a mid-1970s model, the really cool looking ones in my opinion, for $200. $200.
Is that the one you couldn't open the doors to get in and out?
I couldn't open the driver's door. But otherwise the condition was actually really good.
Is this the one where you lost your virginity?
No, that was my mom's car. And then what happened?
Boing. Go on.
And then what happened was I gave the car for free to a friend. No idea what happened to it since. However, I now look online and people are selling those cars for like $15,000-$20,000.
No.
Yeah.
I'm sure
go do a search for 1970 Celica. Could you not go to car sales right now?
1970 Celica.
Yep. 1970 Celica, yeah.
Yeah, but the thing is, your one would have been blown up by now. Unless you put $10,000 worth of money into it.
I'm saying it would have, but had I kept it, I probably would have put it into good nick because it was a cool-looking car. But I moved, I ended up moving and shit, so it didn't make sense for me to keep it, obviously. But I wish I did, because it would have been a pretty cool car to restore. Let's see how much they are. So here we go. Search.
Simultaneously, you just said... It made no sense for me to keep it, but I wish I did.
It didn't make any sense, but at the same time, I wish I did. You know what I mean? I wish I could have gone just keep it, in the garage or something in my parents' place.
Or something.
Yeah, so here we go. Year. Let's go. Max year 19.
No, we're not doing this.
Yeah. 80. Right, back to the wedding. Back to the wedding.
Back to the
wedding. I want to cry. Okay. Minimum price. So the wedding is $1,500.
Shut up, Mike. So the wedding's actually happening.
Edit.
The wedding is actually happening on Joe's porch, which, considering it's late notice, I'll give it to them. Otherwise, it'd be a very stupid place to hold a wedding.
Hey, very good setup for a last-minute organized wedding.
Yeah, except for one thing. They completely forgot about a marriage celebrant. Like, you need someone to organize a marriage, and he's organized everything but that. But it's awesome.
Yeah. So, yeah, now the wedding is on. You guys there?
Yeah. I was expecting you to take and run with it.
I thought it cut out or something. No, you were already going. So I just
I do that to try to get us back on track.
No, but sometimes it's good to hear someone else talk about it.
So basically, I'll get to the marriage celebrant in a second. So Joe tells Faye that Tiddles got hit by a bus, which...
So dark.
Actually, at this point... that's right. Moddy hasn't saved them yet, but he still tells her that this is the point where he does tell her, correct?
Yeah. So, but I mean, the other thing is that Moddy has been freed, and she's dressed up in this crazy outfit with, like, red hair and red satin dress and all this other stuff. Yeah.
But I think, I think he did
Joe pulls it to the side.
Yeah, he told Faye that she got hit by a car a little earlier, but then it kind of comes up again when Moddy essentially saves the Ferals and then they come back. But when Moddy says...
Yeah, but the key thing here is what Faye says about her being hit, about Tiddles being hit by a bus, remember?
Yes, and that's when Moddy... we really messed up. That's when Moddy can hear it. That's basically when Faye said, she was just a grumpy, fat thing anyway, or something like that.
Yeah, a fat, cranky cat, really. She's just a fat, cranky cat, really. And that's when Moddy went crazy. Yeah. I thought it was really funny, actually. I laughed out loud at that part.
No, it was good, but what I want to explain about Moddy saving the Ferals, we've got to explain, basically, she goes down... She says, okay, I'm going to play truth or dare with them, blah, blah, blah. And she basically says, I'm going to let you guys go as long as, for some bizarre reason, her and Radis swap clothes for a month.
Yep.
Why didn't she just say, I want your jacket? Just give me your jacket. Why is part of that
Radis wanted to humiliate.
Yeah, it's the humiliation, obviously.
It was pretty.
She wanted to humiliate Radis.
It was pretty funny, actually. So Radis.
It's more like, why would she want his jacket? That's the part I didn't get.
Oh, I think jackets are cool. Leather jackets.
I think it actually looks cool. Good on Moddy.
Yeah, they're cool. I just didn't. Yeah, it's now. Like that you would.
Now there's one thing. There's one thing that we missed. Mm-hmm. Well, there's a couple because we're going to go back to the whole Keith. Oh, sorry. Keith comes up later. Okay, but what I wanted to say was. Did you guys see, and look, if you haven't seen this, I'm actually going to get you guys to bring the episode back up. Did you see the part where Lenny, now I'm going to start saying it's probably more Brian, the actor, rather than Lenny, tried to knock Robbie's dress off?
What?
Yeah, he tried to, you know how, like, she's got an over the shoulder, I think that's what it's called, isn't it? Over the shoulder number? Like, where it's got, like, two little things that go over your shoulder to keep the dress up? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, mm-hmm. But I did not.
Yeah, he tried to knock one of the sides off her shoulder in the scene.
Really?
Yes.
Can you take a screenshot or something, or is it too hard?
No, I reckon what we need to do is like bring the episode up and right, you just won't believe me.
What's the time?
So, okay, I'm trying to find it. Okay, let me play it and I'll put it in fast forward. Okay. So it was in this scene. Yeah. Okay. Yep. He did it as well. Okay. So it was 17 minute mark. So about 17 minutes and 20 seconds in. Right. So I might have to edit this, but We'll bring the episode up right now. Can you guys
get it on your legal source? I've got it open. I've muted mine. So what's the time?
How about you, Mike?
Mm-hmm.
In the source that I've got, it's like about 17 minutes and 25 seconds into it.
Okay.
So this is a scene where Lenny and Robbie are talking to Joe and Faye. So I'll just get the sound.
Oh, never mind her. She's probably jealous.
I think you better introduce me.
I swear, it looks like they're having an argument off the side as well after this.
You're right. He flicked the side of her dress off right before Joe barges past.
Hang on. Link me to this.
I like how Mike wasn't even looking it up.
I know.
Now that it's been confirmed, it's like, send it to me.
And I've got it about 17:21.
Mm.
Joe goes to barge past, and Lenny actually flicks one of the straps off Robbie's dress. Now, we've got to explain, Robbie's wearing like something like kind of underneath the dress as well. It's a weird... Not weird,
is she?
But like...
No, I don't think she is.
No, she's wearing like a white...
Rude or anything?
Oh, shit, sorry.
It's like a white... I don't know the terminology of the clothes, but... But it's still really weird, so... Well, maybe not. Anyway.
How weird is that scene in your head?
That's definitely just, I think, an on-set.
That is really weird. Wow.
Isn't it, like... I reckon out of everything I've seen in this show, that's, like, the weirdest thing I've seen so far.
Do you reckon that's weird? That was improv, so to speak?
Oh. Yeah, that's what I was trying to say before, that it's kind of like, to me, this is more probably Brian Rooney doing
it than
anything
else. I reckon
it
was, yeah.
I have a feeling it's probably... I imagine there's probably a story behind it where they were just messing around with each other during these takes. And they just happen to use a take where they continue that. I reckon this, you know, there's probably nothing sinister behind it. It's probably just a...
I just like... Can I just say, and in the next segment, Swinney will forgive Bill Crosby.
No, it just seems like a really odd thing, like, to do with no reason behind it, that's all.
Yeah, it's strange, hey? Hey, by the way, is Ferrell's TV... Oh, no, here it is. I thought Ferrell's TV was missing from YouTube, that channel, but no, it's still here.
Yeah.
I'm trying to find, like, a better version of this.
No, this was the...
Because I don't think they have this episode.
This was the episode that was missing. Remember, Mel actually brought it up as well. This is the episode that people were trying to get for ages. It was the one that no one had a copy of. Okay.
Oh, so this is like a special episode as well.
This is like some...
So what I'm going to do is I'm actually going to link... Treasure. This is the first time we've ever done this. I'm going to link this part of the episode to our... Like, in our show notes. So that if people want to see what we're talking about, they can see it and judge for themselves.
Okay.
But to me, 100%, he is like flicking the dress.
Mm.
Oh,
he's trying
to
flick her dress off.
Yeah, it looks so very crazy, deliberate. Alright, so...
It's so bad. But it looks like they have an argument after as well. Anyway, let's move on after this revelation.
So, I brought up the marriage celebrant. So, Joe hadn't organised one because...
The what?
Sorry?
What did you say? The
marriage celebrant.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Go on.
Anyway, so Faye's like, oh,
Future Luke Morris edits.
where's the marriage celebrant? And he's like, ah, here it is. And he picks up Keith, which I thought was brilliant because Keith's like, I've married hundreds of happy koala couples over the years, which I thought was great. Keith is normally pretty slow, and he was just like on the ball on this one.
That's true, actually. So I've got a personal story about this. So we, you know, just wanted to get the lady that does the City Rail announcements. So the equivalent of, well, I don't even remember anymore. What is it, M-Train in Melbourne?
Yeah.
Is that Greta Colleen?
The announcer.
I always thought it was Greta Colleen.
Greta Colleen, you mean?
Yeah.
No, I don't know. The Melbourne one. But anyway, the Sydney one, you can actually get her as a wedding celebrant.
Huh.
And it's ridiculous. She exactly sounds like what you'd think. Like, you, if you'd hear her speak, you'd be like, where do I know this woman from? Like, what's going on, right? So
did
I'm like,
say,
this is the
like,
only thing
Luke,
I...
Luke, coming in at 2116.
Exactly. Exactly. That sounds really
departing, but... departing towards vehicle.
No, I like how you first say coming in. But, anyway. No. Like, so this is the only thing I've vetoed about the wedding. I'm like, there's no way in hell I'm going to get married by the City Rail lady.
Why not?
But
that
what happened was...
awesome.
No, not happening. It's not happening.
Why would
right?
you veto so, what is probably the most entertaining part of a wedding? Is getting yeah. a celebrity or a weird
she's
cameo.
She's not a celebrity, though.
I said, like, a weird cameo.
She's
celebrant.
A weird cameo.
A weird cameo
just
celebrant.
It's just weird.
I want to get Bill Cosby to do mine.
Yeah. If it was Bill Cosby, that'd be different.
You wouldn't veto Bill Cosby.
Yeah, and then get Roman Polanski to do the speech later in the night, and and then just get Brian Rooney to come on at the end. Anyway.
What?
Anyway, so what happened was, we kind of, like, it went off our radar, and we kind of forgot about the fact that we didn't have a wedding celebrant, because, like, I vetoed the original one, and we didn't really have a backup at that stage. And then when we got the wedding celebrant, she was like, oh my God, you know, so lucky you did this. You've almost missed the deadline as to when you can get registered. Otherwise, you wouldn't be able to get married on the day.
I'm sorry, what?
Yeah, you have to get it all locked in like a month or two before you get married. You can't just kind of go, oh, we're going to get married, and on this weekend we get married. So this whole plot line is impossible.
Well, yeah.
Just to ruin the day
I would
for
just
you.
Say, luckily, now that you've got a direct communication with Mal... who voices Keith, he could have just done...
Yeah.
Been
yeah.
Keith for the day and married you guys.
I know. Now, how awesome would that have been?
He wouldn't have the puppet, but at least he could do the voice.
That's true. That would have been cool. That would have been really cool. See, I'd do that. And then maybe at the end he goes, where's my gummies? Anyway. So where are we up to, Swinny?
All right, so basically... You're taking off this whole all right, song. So they're actually at the part where... Keith is now actually saying the vows, or like saying his speeches and whatnot. And he had these great lines, which was, I just want to say a few words before I read the wedding vows. A time comes in everybody's life when you've got to stop saving all the best gummies for yourself, and when you want to share someone with someone you love. And then he says something about, like, you got to make room on the branch for that special someone and stuff like that.
Yeah,
which
I like that. Yeah.
You'd think he would have teared up knowing that his branch has been chopped down now. He's got to find a new one. Bastard Radis.
I forgot about that. I thought his speech was pretty good. Is it giving you inspiration for your best man speech?
Yeah, I'm going to do it as Mike Tyson impersonation.
Oh, God.
The one that I've never actually done on the podcast.
Yeah, that's right. You haven't done any impressions.
I don't know. I've done a entire song with the Bad Keith impersonation. I think that counts for an entire 30 episodes of podcast.
That's true.
So the Ferrells show up and they've already swapped clothes. Was the deal effective from when they let them go? That just seems like a weird thing. Like, why change it now? Now, obviously, it's for comedy effect for the episode, but... It just seems weird.
Oh, I think it's immediate. Nah, I think it has to apply immediately. Because you sort of said it like that. It was like, I'll let you go as long as we swap clothes for a month. So, nah.
Starting now.
Yeah, I reckon.
So,
why not?
They basically, they put their previous plan to motion, screw everything up. And it was really good, actually.
Yeah, it was like, yeah, they actually executed the plan perfectly. But it does feel like... a bit evil that they were trying to do this, don't you think?
Yeah, there was some car alarm as a present. Mixie swaps the vows. Keith kept losing his patience because they kept getting distracted. And Keith reads the cards.
Yes.
Which is where we learn what I'm hoping is the real middle name of Joe.
No, it is.
Well, they swapped the cards, but I guess it is because they didn't react when they said it, so...
But I don't know if they swapped that card, because it was, like, one of the cards they swapped.
So,
it was a bit later.
This middle name of Joe...
Yeah, I've got the clip. I'll play it.
I'm hoping you guys hear it as I do.
Yeah, look, I know what the actual name is, but it's very silly and dodgy what they've done here. So I'll play it. Let's see if we can hear it.
To celebrate this happy day, dear Joseph Wayne King.
It's so dodgy.
That is a perfect example of a joke that is going to go above the heads of so many kids.
I don't know. Hopefully. Target demographic of 30-year-olds.
I'm so shocked that that did not get vetoed. And by the ABC.
Yeah, I know.
Joseph,
by the way, they say it twice.
They do. Now, I can't remember.
And the way they say it as well.
Did we?
It's not like Joseph Wayne King. It's Joseph Wayne King.
Ah, Tiddles.
Monkey Boy, I could be wrong about this. Did you call this on a previous episode?
No. So, I think it might have been with Mel or the first episode, but I was saying how there was an actual guy in Sydney who, like, I think he's a doctor now or something, but a bunch of people in Macquarie knew him.
Yeah.
And his name was King Man Wan. Like, that's his actual real name.
Yeah.
King Man Wan. That's how you say it in Chinese. But in English, we put it in a different order. So it'd be Wan King Man. So, and he dominated. He dominated the HSC. So his name that year was, like, on the top of most of the subjects. Wan King Man. Three words. Wan King Man. Like, 50. Wan King Man. 48. Wan King Man. 50. Like, it was just crazy. And you can check it. I'm pretty sure even to today, you can Google it and it comes up. Which is just absolutely awesome. So
no, and
yeah, but that, this is worse, man.
That was brilliant. I think we've made the joke that his middle name was Far before, but
ah, yes, we did. Yes,
Wayne King. Oh, that's brilliant. And you know what's crazy is we record these podcasts a couple of weeks in advance, and so a certain person does the episode summaries. And one of the summaries for an upcoming episode, I don't think's gone to air yet, said where there's a lot of... What the hell is that noise in the background? Anyway.
It wasn't me.
Oh, that's the siren.
I'm
getting busted into.
Said there's a lot of unresolved...
They're saying that I've... Oh, I'm sorry.
Said there's a lot of unresolved questions that they need to wrap up before the series finishes. And one of them said, will we ever find out Joe's real middle name? And they actually did. So I'm like,
they responded.
I give them credit. So now they've just got to let me know they will announce that Lenny actually gave his private collection of home videos to Radis for the weekend.
Yeah, that's true. I wonder if that will ever. Do you guys think that will come up again? The fact that he's got the little dodgy home movies?
I don't think it ever came up at all. I think it's just us making jokes. Anyway, so basically, Lenny's lost the ring as well, which probably happened because they were trying to turn off the car alarm. And so he takes the ring off like a Coke can or something.
I know, it's so bad. And it just takes the top bit.
And in probably one of my favourite parts of the episode... When Keith says, repeat after me with this ring, and because Lenny's just given the ring to Joe, he repeats it as well, which I thought was really, really fantastic. So,
yeah, I like that. That was funny. That made me laugh. Yeah, but, like, I guess the weird thing is, in this episode, it all wraps up really quickly, right? So, we also find out what Faye's full name is.
Yeah,
Faye Maria Kermont.
Yeah, we heard her last name earlier in the episode, but I didn't. Oh, okay. Yeah, I was trying to see if there was a pun there in Faye Kermont, and I'm like, Faker? Nah, it's not worth it. I didn't think there was anything there. Yeah. So,
yeah, Faye Maria. Anyway, FM Kermont. I don't know. So they've replaced the vowels, and the vowels, as read by Keith, say the truth about how he doesn't have a real business and he's faking everything and that he's locked up the Ferals, I think, and that he didn't kill... No, that Tiddles isn't dead, or I don't know, all this other stuff. And then basically she's like, oh, this is disgraceful, you know, I can't believe you, Joe, and then leaves, right?
Yeah, she just...
Like, that's basically the end of the episode.
But Joe...
So weird.
But Joe...
What is the actual ending, though?
Well, Joe didn't really care. He's like, she wasn't really good enough for me anyway. He wasn't pissed off that everything's gone wrong. And it reminded me of of something funny that happened to me, which was I used to be in a band, and I had someone at some pub, some friend of one of the people that came to see us, said, oh, yeah, I really liked the singer or whatnot, which was me. And when I actually spoke to him, he seemed like an arsehole or a douchebag. And so when my friend told me that, I said, well, her loss. So it was exactly like that. It was like, well, she wasn't really good enough for me anyway. But Joe,
and then what does he try to do at the end? Do you remember? Like,
yes, of course.
To save the situation,
he proposes to Robbie. Tries to get Robbie to marry him.
It's even more extreme. He not only tries to propose, he's like, let's just get married right now. Like, why not?
I know.
Very strange.
Yeah.
Very strange. Yeah.
It was good. A good ending.
And then basically,
I just said it was a good ending, so I liked it.
Yeah, no, I thought it was pretty funny. And then we wrap up the post-credits scene with Darren still annoyed that he hasn't had his turn playing Truth or Dare. And then Moddy kisses Raddus.
Yeah.
You remember that?
Yeah, right after the credits. Yeah.
Yeah, little heart flies out and that's the end. So do you want to get into ratings and then your little segment at the end?
Yeah, I just wanted to talk about Faye for a second. So we mentioned she was on Underbelly, Mike.
Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure she was.
Yep. So she
What's her name?
Pippa Granderson. So she was in...
She's spelled incorrectly in the credits as well.
Yeah, I didn't really notice that, but good pickup.
Oh, she on Home and Away as well.
Yeah, all those standard ones. But what stood out to me, she was in a movie called Mr. Accident. And her name in the movie was Nightclub Natasha, which is an awesome character name. Now, I looked at this movie because awesome. I'm like, Mr. Accident, it sounds vaguely familiar. Do you guys remember Yahoo Serious?
Nope.
Yeah.
So it was that, I think it was Australian, that comic actor, you know, comedian, whatever, in a lot of stupid slapstick movies. And so it was a Yahoo Serious movie from 2000, and the synopsis on IMDb just... Just imagine trying to sell this to a movie studio. I don't know how this movie got made. It says, a very clumsy man and his UFO-obsessed girlfriend discover a plan made by his boss to market eggs laced with nicotine.
Okay.
Wow. Okay.
How did that movie get made? I have no idea. So, anyway... Yeah, I just... she's actually been in a lot of things, so...
How old do you think she looked in this episode, Mike?
I'm not commenting on these anymore. They're all traps.
I swear she looked like she was 16. She looked really young.
Oh, really? You think?
I reckon she looked really young.
She looked in her mid-20s.
Oh, when she first came in, I guess, maybe her hairstyle, what she was dressed in, she looked really young, but, yeah.
Mm. Yeah, she was like 25.
Well, I was way off the mark. I shouldn't judge people's ages. Mm. Clearly, it's got danger written all over it.
It's true. It's true.
Not really. You're just extremely conservative. Like, you play it super safe by about 10 years, just in case.
You know, I have done that before. I've thought, yes, I think this chick is, you know, 35. And then I'm minus 10 off. And then she's like, oh, yeah, I'm 26. I was just like, oh, my God. Thank God I did that.
Are you sure? So, she didn't beat the crap out of you when you thought she was 35? You thought she was 35, but she's actually only 26? I think most women would.
I thought she looked 35, and I didn't say it. I minus 10 in my head. I'm like, I'm just going to be extreme, minus 10 of what I think. Mm. And I said, oh, 25? And then she's like, oh, close, I'm 26. I was like, holy shit.
You look so old, bro. Imagine if you would have said 35.
You have lived a life.
So, I guess, ratings, I guess.
Yes, ratings. I'll open the batting in the similar vein of the Australian cricket team's form at the moment. I gave it 7 out of 10 this episode. I thought it was pretty funny. A few good scenes. Didn't like blow me away or anything like that, but I enjoyed it. So, how about you, Mike?
I give it an 8. Solid 8. Almost inching towards a 9, eight. Yeah. Thought it was a well-written episode, lots of funny bits. Everything was strung together really well. Didn't feel like there were any sort of contrived parts that didn't need to actually be in there. Like in a certain other episode that we watched.
In reference to
last week.
You almost hated episode.
By far. That was just shit.
Yeah.
So this was really good.
How about you, Sweeney?
I give this episode a 9.
Nice.
Oh!
I thought that this episode was by far one of the best. And I considered even giving it a 10. Then I thought that there was probably a couple of moments that it could have improved, and you know, a couple of things that they didn't explain. So I didn't want to give it the 10, but 9 definitely. I laughed so much at quite a few of the lines, and Keith being a big part of this episode was a big plus for me as well.
Yeah,
yeah. I think that's just always a factor in the episodes that we give good ratings. That Keith's got a lot of role in.
Can I revise mine, by the way? Because I reckon when I really think about it, it deserves a 9.
Okay, you've been affected by Sweeney.
Yeah, I did say that, you know, inching towards a 9, so yeah, I'm going to go with a 9. I really did enjoy this one. Because I was feeling kind of really down today, and then I watched it and I'm like, hey, this is actually alright. I expected to just be really disappointed at it, and just because I wasn't in the mood to watch it, but it turned out to be really good. I'm like, wow, this must be really good if it's, you know, keeping my attention the whole way through.
This might turn out to be the highest on average,
quite possibly.
I don't think so. I still think the Rambo,
the Medigliana episode,
yeah, that was 8, 10, 10.
Okay.
Yeah.
Who gave
me
it
dragging
an 8?
Everyone down.
Yeah, stop dragging it down.
It was me.
You tittle.
And I've done it again with this one. The 7 really drags it down. I didn't laugh as much as I'd want to in an episode. But it's probably also my sense of humour. Like, I like things to be pretty dark and disturbing. And it probably wasn't dark and disturbing enough.
Pretty sure you gave last week's episode a 10 because you liked the fact that Radis was taking a dump in the kitchen. Like, that's the standard of your humor right there.
You just reminded me of that. Oh, God.
Dude, it's memorable, man. They're trying to make him puke. They're trying to make
him... Yeah, okay, I guess memorable's the way to go, yeah. Like, two girls in one
Chad
cup.
Chad Muffin. I mean, you got so much in this episode. You got Radis with Keith. He's trying to, you know, trampoline him. It's just the best. That was a funny episode, man. I still like it.
Oh, shit.
Anyway. Okay. So, to close up, let's go through your segment, Sweeney.
Nah, I'm all good, actually. I think we're probably spending way too much time talking about this
what
episode
a tease.
This week. You really want to do it?
No, not really.
No. We'll do your segment next week.
We won't worry about it because it's only relevant to this topic, so it's all good.
Well, then we got to do it. Come on. I mean, we've been going for an hour and a half already. You might as well go for a few more minutes.
All right, let's quickly do it.
We've lost 99.9% of people who are listening so far, so who cares?
Just okay. All right.
Shit, so what? Cunt. I can't even swear now because no one's getting that far.
Future Luke.
Stop wasting time then. Let's get to it. So, I wanted to research the weirdest weddings that have ever apparently happened, right? So, I found this listing. Yep. I've linked it to you guys, but what I wanted to do is quickly pull out some of the choice quotes. Mm. Now, as I went through this article, I started to really doubt whether or not this list was actually real or not. And I'm like, is this site screwing me? Because some of the quotes... brilliant. So essentially,
I love the first one.
So the list has a man that married himself, and This is a quote. Again, these are quotes from the article. It says, the best part is that he married a foam board cutout of himself dressed in a lovely red dress. He admits to being narcissistic. You married yourself and you had to admit to being narcissistic. I think that's pretty clear from the get-go. So,
and I like it. What is wrong with
apparently,
these people?
His quote was, there are many reasons for marrying myself, but mainly to express my dissatisfaction with reality. So,
yes, I agree. This guy has an issue with reality.
Yep, I think a lot of these people have an issue with reality.
There's one, a woman married herself as well, and her last name was Hoes, like H-O-E-S, which I thought was very fitting because it's already a plural. So,
and yeah, it's
plus
true.
Plus one for the linkage. There's more than one hoe, and they're getting married to each other. So, there's also a woman who apparently married a snake. And I love that the quote says, again, this is all directly from the summit. More than 2,000 people participated in the procession because they felt that a wedding would bring good luck. The snake did not attend, but was represented by a brass likeness of himself.
Surely not.
Okay.
And, this can't be right.
And that's a really cool-looking snake, by the way, that photo.
This stuff, I'm like, this cannot be real. But the weird thing is, I know there are some on here that are real because I've seen them reported before.
Like the lady with the dolphin?
Okay. Yeah, and she sealed the deal and with a kiss and the gift of a herring, apparently.
I'm so glad it went that direction where it says she sealed the deal after the Beastmaster.
Well, hang on. There are multiple counts of people marrying animals here.
Yes, okay.
One can only suspect...
All right, a man that married a dog.
Oh, can I just say on that dolphin lady, because it seems to be real.
Mm-hmm.
That there's a quote at the end of this article on The Age where it goes, quoting from the lady Cindy, "He will still play with all the other girls there," she said, "of their prenuptial agreement." Then she goes on to say, "I hope he has a lot of baby dolphins with other dolphins. The more dolphins, the better." This is scary.
I have this visual of a dolphin like for pen signing a prenup. The one with the man marrying the dog. The quote says, "The farmer in India, who had suffered from disabilities, believed he'd been cursed after stoning two dogs to death in his rice field." Okay, first of all, how do you stone a dog to death? Well, I guess maybe if you can catch it.
You throw stones at it.
That's, yeah. That seems really like a really ineffective way to kill an animal that can move pretty fast, is to throw stones.
Well, how else are you going
to
do it?
Can I just comment on the fact that your biggest issue with stoning two dogs to death on a rice field is the method of killing the dogs?
Hang on. Let's clarify this. How would you have done it?
I don't know.
Okay, so can I just say, all stonings...
You're a farmer. You've probably got guns to protect your, like, wild.
Oh, yeah. Like,
stuff.
Yeah, you would.
Every Indian farmer can afford a Glock semi-automatic.
Like,
freaking...
Not a Glock. A farmers Glock. Don't Glocks.
Yes! Glocks are for killing people. And farmers don't use those.
Oh, I'm sorry. Every farmer in India... No, I think you guys are missing the point. People that can't afford...
Good point. But basically, he...
No, I don't know. Guns aren't that expensive. Guns are pretty cheap, man.
I don't know what the gun laws are in India, though, so... Anyway, yeah. So but he married...
Like,
he...
Can I say about the stoning? They tie people up when they stone them to death. So the animals would have been tied up and stoned to death.
Yeah, but...
That's how you stone people.
Wouldn't you just, like, hit it with a big block of wood or something? Like, why do you need to sit there throwing stones at it? It seems
tradition,
really
man,
ineffective.
Tradition. Probably also because his astrologer told him to do it.
Yes, because it says on
to
that
make
point,
him marry
Mike,
the dog.
On that point, it says doctors couldn't help him, but his astrologer told him the only way to lift the curse would be to marry a dog and live with it.
Ah, the world.
So,
all
right, there was a woman.
Yeah, go on.
There was
a
woman who married the Eiffel Tower, apparently, and this.
Oh yeah.
This is where it says she was also once in a long-term relationship with a beau and cares deeply for a fence that she keeps at home.
You know how she's grinding on the Eiffel Tower? The Eiffel Tower can't technically consent. I would have put her in jail for that shit.
Trigger warning. Trigger warning.
What happens if they turn the lights on? Does she get electrocuted or something?
I don't think anything would happen to her.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
She's pretty much as crazy and fucked up as it can get already. Really.
All right. That's another feature.
I love the whole Eiffel Tower is electrocuted.
It's to keep those Germans away.
Anyway, so on this, just on this,
because this lady, a giant Tesla.
Can I just
Tesla
say,
coil.
Because on this lady, Germans. I've heard of this lady before. I've heard of this lady before, and there's a sexual, I don't know, fetish or whatever you want to call it.
Okay,
where these people have an attraction, a sexual attraction to objects. It's called objectophilia.
Okay.
It's like when people install
a ream?
Like, certain slots in the back of cars.
What?
Yeah, it's been reported a dude's actually modified his car so he can make love to his car.
So, what? Like, putting a fleshlight...
I don't have...
In a car.
Like, a fleshlight. I can't... Find a link off the top of my head
Ray,
to show
hey
you, but
guys,
it's been
remember,
done.
Remember how that one time I ran over that fuel cap? Maybe the guy forgot to put the fuel cap back in.
How's the fuel cap
after
not come
he
off
screwed
the
his car, and then he screwed me and my motorbike?
Well, on that note, there's actually a video game about making love to a car. So, anyway,
is it a streetcar called Desire?
Well, there's a man who admits.
Anyway, so there's a woman who married the Berlin Wall, and the quote on the article says she was horrified when the wall was taken down 10 years later and hasn't returned. Which I
this can't be real, man.
That she was a woman. She looks like a man in that photo, don't you think? With a moustache
or
something.
Well, go to the one with the woman in the roller coaster.
Can't be real.
Does that not look like just a fat kid?
Yes.
I thought it was. I thought it was a fat 16-year-old kid.
Anyway.
Oh, what the hell, the pillow?
Yeah, well,
but how do these count? One... Like, surely these are just obviously nonsense, because legally it means nothing.
Okay, the pillow one, which is a dakimakura, so a love pillow. I've heard of that one before, and that's what made me go...
Dakimakura.
Dakimakura. Basically, and I'm like, so some of these
are
real.
I know a lot about these pillows.
Well... I'm not going to get into my history of that and Beastmaster. They're kind of connected, you know.
Yummy!
Anyway, my favorite quote is probably the one in the man that married the blow-up doll, where it says, and this may not be an actual quote from him.
Trigger warning.
She provides me with a lot of things that I can't get out of an organic partner, like quiet.
Ooh, shots were fired.
Burn. Now, I have actually seen this program that they're talking about.
Same.
The My Strange Addiction. I've actually seen it.
Hey, Luke.
It was on Fox that one time.
If you have any issues with Jess, you should just go, I should have married a blob doll instead.
I think she's one of those real dolls.
Yeah, no, that is a real doll. Yeah, yeah. Some are modelled after actual actresses. Down to the
Do you reckon the real dolls, if you put pins in them, the actresses feel the pain?
Of course.
Anyway, that's a very funny article.
Cool person.
Yeah, that was funny. I like that. That was good. Good prep for the wedding next week. All right, well,
you could always marry a pot if you change your mind.
That's true. I might do that. I'll marry Henry, our dog. Okay.
Well, sorry, he's underage. There on that.
No, but he ages, what is it, 5 years for every year or 7 years?
How old is he now?
Anyway. Oh, he's only 6 months old.
I think even in dog years, he's still under the legal limit.
He's like a bottle of whiskey. Point that we've left the episode.
Wait, what
I think we'll
was
wrap
that?
It up there.
What was that? Yeah, what was that horrible joke again?
No.
Okay. Nothing. No. Right. Future Luke. So next week is episode 13. Only three more episodes to go. We're very much on the final straight now.
I mean, oh no. So next whatever will I do afterwards?
So next week is Prime Suspect. Sounds intriguing. Mm-hmm. Followed by Joe's Army. And the final episode being Fossil Fools. Very clever puns here. I like them. But for now, it's bye-bye.
See ya. Goodbye.
I wanna be ya.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Welcome back to Two Judgy Girls. I'm Mary from the Bay.
And I'm Courtney from LA. TJG is the podcast where we spill all the tea on your favorite reality TV shows, celebrity gossip, and everything in between. We're here to bring you our unfiltered opinions, hilarious commentary, and plenty of laughs along the way.
We're two SDSU Delta Gamma sisters with a microphone and a whole lot of opinions. Each week, we dive headfirst into the wild world of reality television, from Bravo to all the trash TV you could want. We break down the drama, dissect the latest scandals, and share our thoughts on everything from the jaw-dropping moments to the embarrassing antics.
But that's not all. We're not here to just gossip. We're here to connect with you, the jurors, and share our love of all things pop culture. Whether we're dishing on the latest celebrity breakups, discussing our favorite guilty pleasure movies, or sharing embarrassing stories from our own lives, we promise to keep it real, keep it fun, and keep you coming back for more.
Come judge with us.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.